All right, I want to continue our teachings of prayer. I think about something and say, hey, boy, what are you doing? And I just realize what I'm doing simply, all right, is trying to form real Christian habits into people. What did I call it? Forming what? Real Christian habits. Okay, that's what we're trying to do. Form real Christian habits. A lot of habits that people have are not Christian. Some of them, like I say all the time, are based on the history of idolatry. Now, what I want to do today, so you know, last time I said I would do it, talk about learning and praying or something like that. Yes. But this is the concept behind it. All right, this is the idea behind that issue. You see, God has a thought process. There's a way he thinks. You know, if you read that book of Romans chapter 12, it said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me explain the meaning of that word, mind, again. Mind means the way you interpret things, the way you perceive things. You know, once I read in one book, I think a psychology book, and, you know, they drew a line. And the edges of the lines were the boundaries of that is at the edge. You will see the what was marking the end was like arrowheads, you understand? So two lines side by side, one, the boundaries were arrowheads facing outward, and the other one, they were arrowheads facing inward. Now, try and just imagine it in your mind. And I just look at it and say, okay, which of the lines are longer? Which one is longer of the two lines? There were two of them. Which one of the two lines is longer? And most people always will interpret the one that has the arrowhead facing outward as being longer. And now, please, I'm going somewhere. And look, 99% of people interpret them, those ones as being longer. But the issue is that they said that the lines were exactly the same. All they had to do was measure the, just use a ruler, measure it, they were exactly the same length. So why do you misinterpret what you are seeing? The simple reason was because of the kind of environment you grew up in. They said if they did that same experiment amongst people in villages that had round huts, that is, their huts were round, they never missed it. The lines to them looked the same. The basic issue, all right, is just that, well, just for those who are wondering what I'm talking about, is because of your way, if you live where there are angles, if your walls and the type we have here and the pillars, your experience of seeing straight lines and edges forms the way by which you interpret lines that are on paper. So if you look, when you see those things, they just look like corners of walls, and one of them will look like it's closer. So even though your mind, the lines are the same length, but your interpretation is that this one must be longer because it's a closer wall. So for it to look the same length as the other one is because the other one is farther away. You know, there's a way the thing just your brain just interpreted the matter. What I'm trying to bring out from there is the fact that anything you see in life, there's always something that helps you interpret it. Like I say all the time, a typical Nigerian, and I think most Africans are like that, if something goes wrong, somebody is responsible. They grew up like that. They were formed like that. So ministries build, you know, large congregations around a simple but wrong doctrine that you have problems with enemies. Now, listen, let me just say something to you. Don't think that it's about our ability to understand deliverance. It's all a joke. Professor Ayo Beniti, he wrote an article long ago. In fact, he was internationally renowned for it. What he called psychotherapy through environmental manipulation. And it was based on one simple principle. That the primary thing in the heart of an African is to be at peace with his neighbor. That was not Christianity. That was just psychiatry. That was the psychology. The man was saying that the primary problem in the mind of an African is to be at peace with his neighbor. So anytime somebody's having problems, all right, emotional problems, psychological problems, you know, when they had to do psychotherapy, one of the things they check the environment, that what is causing this kind of stress. And if it's a white man, they check something else. But if it's a black man, they start checking that he is quarreling with his neighbor. Now, it's in his mind. He grew up like that. So when he wants to pray, if he has a problem, is everybody that's saying, I will not prosper. Nobody is saying you will not prosper. They don't have their time. They have their own problems with their own poverty. Are you getting my point? That's the thing, you know. I mean, you see a man misbehaving, people around say that somebody is worrying him. Nobody is worrying him. The man has his own issues. Nobody is worrying him. If his business is not doing well, the people who are saying that my business will not do well. Meanwhile, people don't even notice that he's there. It's an African thing. If his tire leaks, Holy Ghost fire against the leaking tire demons. Meanwhile, the demons. So when we gather in those kind of congregations, morning till night, we are praying about what? Enemies. And this, listen, the issue is the background of, is the way the African man thinks. So he interprets all the scriptures in his idolatrous mind, you understand? He interprets all the scriptures with that same history, the mentality of his people, that the problem is spiritual enemies. The problem is mommy water spirit. The problem is spirit husband. Some of these husbands don't exist in the realm of the spirit. If somebody dies, I mean, it's traditional African thing. They want to see who's responsible. Somebody must be responsible. Okay, so when an old man dies in court, who's responsible? But another set of people now, everything in life, all right, there's a balance, okay? There are some people who don't believe that anything spiritual exists. That's another extreme. What I want to just bring out is this. When we are praying, therefore, that's why I'm bringing that matter up. I said I'm trying to form a Christian, is it habit? Yes, I want us to reason like believers. I want us to think. That's why we keep on talking and talking and talking. For example, anybody who believes, I've seen people say that, they said it is that woman next door. Listen, if you come now and show me a picture of people gathered around my photograph, and they are pouring things on a cracking egg, sacrificing chicken. God is my witness, I'm not lying about what I'm saying. I'll just laugh and go and sleep. You know why? Because they are, listen, those who feel they have been afflicted have the same mind as those who are trying to afflict me. Both of them are confused. I don't know whether I get my point. Those ones, they don't know they don't have the power, so they are wasting time. So I will laugh and go and sleep. The same way I laugh at those who think people are, who are thinking that people are afflicting them, it is the same way I laugh at those who are sitting and trying to afflict somebody else. Not because spiritual things don't exist, they exist. But because this is Banky Christ, you understand what I'm saying? There is Jesus Christ, that's the first man that opened the door. Everyone that believes walks into that same realm, and it's called Christ, a realm of Christ. So all those things, na joke. Therefore, my prayers, therefore, are not centered around, you don't like me, you like me. You like me, you don't like me. It's your personal issue. In fact, you should like me. That's the only way I can bless you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So you see, we don't form prayer points, therefore, all right, as Christians, on African mythology. We don't form prayer points based on the ignorance of people around us. We don't form prayer points based on the confusion of the society. So when we want to form our prayer points, we form them according to the word of God. Let's read one scripture to start today, all right? I think, let me title my message today. Well, I call it Learning and Praying. Or you can give it a subtitle, Praying According to the Will of God. God has a will, amen? I say it all the time, we can know the will of God. The book of 1 John, I'm going to read from chapter 5. Let me start from verse 13. Where I'm going, again, is verse 14. Just want to read in context. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, sometimes people have things, they don't realize they have them. That's why you have to tell them. And that's why we keep teaching and teaching. All right? And this is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Now, please notice that He says that God has a will, and the answer to prayer is predicated upon the concordance of our prayer with the will of God. If our prayer agrees with the will of God, then we are assured that He has heard us. And if we know that He has heard us, then we are assured that we have the answer. Now, this is what the problem is a lot of times. How do I know which one is the will of God? How do I know what I want is the will of God? Please, read another scripture quickly, the book of John chapter 15. I want to read verse 7, but let me back up a bit. He said from verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That is, you have been brought into this realm of purity because you believed in my word. That's what he was saying. Now, following that, he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, please note that verse 7, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. It is a conscious effort to abide. It is. You can't, it's not, the history cannot keep you in Christianity. Let me say it again and again, that wilderness is like this. You either reach the promised land or you die inside the wilderness. Once you get out of Egypt, please, you must not slow down, you must not look back until you have entered into the promised land. The interesting thing is, you know, it can be very sad, but just a matter of fact, the man who has done all the great, great work for God, if while doing the work, he's not careful to ensure that he's abiding, and this is how we abide. We abide by what? His words. By his words abiding in us. We don't abide by agidi, you know what I mean? I'm not going to agree. I will just abide. No. You abide only by ensuring that his word abides in you. That's the way it is. Listen, you can't pray yourself into abiding. The only way you can abide is if his word abides in you. And spiritual things are dynamic. You know, I don't know whether I gave a teaching recently, but I wrote an article long ago. I said, on what do you stand? The weight of words that carried you 10 years ago, they are not sufficient for today. They are not. Just like a cot that you put your baby in, bring him 10 years later, you know, go walk. You are getting the principle. The only thing you can do is to constantly feed on God's word, and the more you feed on it, the more you can discover in the word of God, and the stronger the amount of things that you are putting out of that word to fill your life. It's a continuous process. There's nothing like, those days are those days. They've gone. They're not helping you today. Any help, all right, that they will be able to render, or they might be able to render today, can only be energized by what you are feeding on today. And you know what Paul said? If you think you are standing, take heed. That is, there's nothing like, I don't believe a man did that. And the issue, just make sure you're not the next man that does it. That's what we're saying. And the only way you will be, you will ensure that you are not the woman to do it again, is by simply ensuring that the word constantly abides in you. That's it. First person I heard say this was something like this. R.B. Tame, I was reading one of his books. When he said it, I said, impossible. He said, a Christian that's walking away from the grace of God can commit murder. So just, he said, leave that one. I was a young boy. He said, what do you mean? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can't kill somebody. But the man said, listen, that if a man falls away from grace, there's nothing he can't do. Now, we're talking about the will of God now, learning and praying. God has a will in prayer. He does. God has a will. That is, everything in life, every situation, every desire, every need, every demand, whatever it is, God has a will. And what is a will? A will means there's a way he wants it to be. So, for example, assume, just to make it easy, I'm asking for a Bible, all right, brown, thick like this, New American Standard. There is a will concerning whether I should have it or I shouldn't have it. Except that Jesus did not put that qualification when he was speaking, when we read from this John chapter 15. He just said, whatever you ask, he said, ask whatever you wish. That's how he said it. Whatever you wish, ask. That's in verse 7. And it shall be done for you. In that first John chapter 5 we read, he said, that asking must be according to the will of God. And since Jesus did not say it like that, just look at the previous portion of the Bible, of that verse. He put it this way. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, you know, I said that we're trying to teach what? A Christian habit, a Christian culture, a Christian mind. That word mind, he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind describes how you interpret things. As I was trying to explain earlier. That is, if, you know, one that's very common, there's one of my colleagues, I laugh about it all the time, all right? If he interprets everything based on clan, tribe, you know, that's my point. If I'm passing, I give somebody maybe 1,000 naira on the road. His interpretation is that, okay, his brother is a cousin to the grandfather of the auntie of the first wife of this. The only connection for him, the only explanation for your generosity, you must be from the same clan. So if he applies for a job and he is denied, he will go and check the village the MD is from. And if we have an explanation for why he didn't get the job, because the village of that MD and his village quarreled like 250 years ago, and the reconciliation they tried 150 years ago did not work. It's not what they call mind. That is his mind. And I've had discussion, arguments sometimes with people. And they say, this is why this is happening. I say, listen, it is because of your own mind. It is not because you have evidence to support what you are saying, but it's because of what? Your own mind. That is why when people are having problems in life, and I was saying earlier, their mind starts asking, who is responsible? I've been trying to make money, I have not made it. Who is responsible? That's their mind. You understand my point? Now, when Jesus said, you ask whatever you wish, it will be done to you, for you. The first thing he said is this, if my words abide in you. And John said, if we ask according to his will. You know what both of them were saying? All right? This is simple. Don't forget, this is a simple summary. Don't forget that John learned directly. All right? Directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knew what he was saying when he said that. So what he was saying in effect is this. Now, before I say what he was saying, let me say this so that it makes it easy for me to explain. The way we think, in fact, a friend of mine, he said that some of the men that have serious marriage problems, you know, because that thing I told you about caused us to discuss extensively. He said some of those men were the men who all this one of, they didn't know how to chase a woman, you know. I'm not saying that they were bad, but I mean that it was not necessary. They knew how to pray. Why chase a woman when you can pray about the matter? The Lord is good. See, what am I saying? I'll explain. Some of us will go and say, Sister Hannah, how far now? They talk. They didn't have time for that. They will go and pray until the Lord will speak. And when they come out from the place the Lord has spoken, they identify the person the Lord spoke about. That other person too will pray. And in agreement, they will find the will of God. And they will marry. And 20 years later, they are divorcing. Now, my friend said, this is strange. That, now, listen. No, there are some people who are confused as to the will of God. They were not confused. When the Lord didn't want to speak, they kept on knocking until to have peace of mind. The Lord had to talk. Who is your will? It's okay. Baba God, we'll go fast until our stomach perforates. So you might reveal. So God said, okay. Before this boy kills himself, Gabriel, go and tell him he shall marry Sister Angela. 20 years later, 15 years later, the whole thing has come to an end. The question is it that the Lord did not speak? Now, let's not discuss whether he spoke or not. What I want to discuss is his speaking does not guarantee success. That speaking only helped you identify. Don't be so. He didn't even say that you have a ceremony. If you can finish speaking and say, Lord, that your word was good yesterday, but I don't want to marry again. He has to find another man. For the person who spoke, now, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The speaking was identified at the beginning. You are clean because of that word. You are no longer single because of that word. But to have success in that thing, you must what? Abide. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So they know the will of God, it appears. But abiding, all right, is what produces success in that which they found out at the beginning. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. People spend a lot of time trying to say, okay, what is the will of God about this matter? Does God want me to have this Bible or not? But Jesus said that's not how it works. That the question of does the Lord want me to have the Bible or not does not arise if you wish for the Bible when the word is abiding in you. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. That is, now, it's not, the Lord doesn't have to come up now and say, hey, my son. In fact, there's something that comes to my mind all the time, okay? When I'm praying about something. In fact, I told you that one just some time ago. I was thinking, oh, should I give this person this money or not? Oh, as I praying in my heart, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, should I give this person the money? Father, in that. I told myself, all right? Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. All I know is that, look, if you want to give, give this prayer. This prayer is unnecessary. This one of praying. Did somebody come to harass you for the money? No. You woke up one day, identified that this thing could be done, and you took money in your heart to give. And started praying again, God, should I give the money? So, boy, if you won't give, give. Stop disturbing heaven. There are more crucial things to handle than you're trying to decide whether you should let money go. It's not money. You're not saying, should I pack up the ministry and leave Enugu and go to Oka? It is whether you should give somebody money or shouldn't give somebody money. And you are praying about it. People think it's a mark of spirituality. It is not a mark of spirituality. It's a simple sign that the word is not abiding enough. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. That is, if the word is abiding, what the Lord Jesus was saying is simple. The will of God will manifest as a wish. You know, he said, ask whatever you do, what you wish. You know, I've told this story many, many times. If I was in the book, should I say yes? One brother asked me, how did God speak to you? He said, Pastor Bank, did God speak to you about the woman you married? Of course, I was married by that time. I said yes. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. The guy laughed so hard, he almost fell down. That is, his name is Chooks. He's a doctor in New York now. He laughed so hard, he almost fell down. He was sitting on his stool. Oh, yes, speaking to here. And like I said in that book, I said to him straight, I said, listen, I married the woman I liked. Ah, you're a man of God. You know the will of God. That's what I'm discussing. What is the will of God? The will of God is not to do, and the Lord shows you a picture. Sometimes he does. It is not common, but sometimes he does. But what really is the will of God? It is when the word is abiding in me. Are you getting my point? That is the will of God. That is, like I said then in that book, that I say, okay, I married the woman I like. So I explained in one chapter, what does it mean to marry the woman I like? I said, first, let's discuss, what kind of woman did I like? Then I began to give the abiding word criteria for the kind of woman I liked. Now, the point I'm making is, let me tell you the truth. It has happened to me before, you know? You like somebody. The person talk once. I still remember this. I told the story in the book. Person talk once. All the liking melted. You know what they call melt? It disappeared. Why? Because like I said, I believe and you are a witness that I'm a teacher of the word. I'm called by God to teach his word. I said, one person that must agree with me is the wife I'm going to marry. And I shared the word with a young woman once. And she looked and just take what they call a broom, sweep the anointing. Say, I beg, oh God, that's your own. Carry. I have my own opinion. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to come and tell me, say, Banky, you see, I don't want you to go there. I said, Lord, listen, don't worry, I know. It's obvious. I don't need anybody to come and manifest that to me again. I'm aware. Why? Because the word abiding in me made it clear that you won't go anywhere in ministry with that kind of wife. You can't. It's not possible. And since ministry was important to me, forget it. I know there are things that are not negotiable. No. Oh, God. Listen. All this sort of people telling that this is the reason why, it's because you don't have a direction in life. There's nothing that is propelling you. If you had a place you wanted to go, you'll be careful the kind of people you are linking hands with. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. That's what I mean by the will of God coming to you because you are abiding. That's my very good illustration there. Let's take the general thing and let's get back to it. So the Lord Jesus said, what do you do? If my word abides in you. Listen, it is not everything. You know, as young children, as young men, I remember those days, there are things we wanted. I see some of those things these days.
And I'll look and say, do you know there was a time I thought that if I had money, this is what I would be buying. You know, let me give you an example. When I was a child, I thought that when I grow up, I would buy a fridge and fry meat in 2 layers and fry fish in 2 layers. I still remember very well as a little boy thinking about it. Why? Because when they'll be cooking in the house, and when the meat is frying, you know, we'll be passing there up and down, hoping that my mother will offer something, you understand? Or one of the women in the house will offer something. So, and they used to do, you know, offer periodically. And the meat had a different taste when it had not yet entered the soup. You understand what I'm saying? So one day I decided that once I start working, I am buying a fridge. And they are going to fry meat and fry fish, and they are going to be in layers. I still remember the thought. But life is abiding in me now. I know the difference. Now, if I want to fry a shark and fry a cow, I think I can afford to do it. But now, I'll tell my wife, please, don't fry my fish. I don't want it fried. You know, frying it means I take in a lot of oil. You know, I don't want to, you know, you're making me, I'm going to be fat. It's okay. Meat, I don't want it. I went to eat my friends the other day. They served us meat and we left some behind. You know, men just say, no, this one has some fire. You push it beside and you eat the one you want to and you get up and you walk away. When we're cheating, walk away from what? Walking away from anything. Not walking away. Hey, I went to visit somebody yesterday. And we sat there. At the end of the day, brought corn. You know, just entertaining us. Day before yesterday, brought corn, brought this. Then they now brought fried chicken. I looked the person beside me and said, I beg, you go chop chicken. He said, yes. I said, thank you. Because I didn't know how to tell the host to come and remove the chicken they had served. So I quickly gave it to the person. Okay, please, eat this one. Then, I didn't believe that time will ever come. The Lord is good. What I'm going to say is this. A lot of the desires we have in life, let me put it like this, is lack of experience in the Word of God. Just like lack of experience in life made me as a little boy, I was dreaming of frying fish and frying meat and stocking a fridge with it and just coming from work and eating and eating and eating and eating. As I was growing up, I realized, oh boy, the kingdom of God is not fish and meat. There are things that are more important than fish and meat. In the same manner, as you begin to feed upon the Word of God, there are certain things that are not prayer points for you anymore. It doesn't mean you have them. You just don't know how to concern yourself with them. I told you once, a young man wrote me and said that he needed money urgently. Well, I wanted to process a Canadian visa. I remember that the door just opened. And when I finished reading it, I was angry. That's the summary of it. What kind of stupidity is this? If that young man written me a mail and said, sir, I'm having problems with my project. I need money. Because he was in his penultimate year for graduating in engineering in a Nigerian university. I said, you're about to walk away from school and I'm supposed to cooperate with you. But because I never, see, at that time I don't know whether it ever entered, but it had been removed, if it ever entered, from my eyes that promotion is from the east or the west or from the south. I already knew that God is judge. So because of that, I didn't see a young man departing from school because he got a visa as breakthrough. What does that mean? If he had come to me and said, let us join hands to pray, I'll have told him I don't have time. So let us pray that they'll give. I said, give you what? I told him, look, there are prayer points. One day I went to preach in a particular church. I was preaching and preaching. I said, listen, let me pray for you. Nobody, that money you are looking for to start your business, may nobody give it to you. See, the way you are quiet like this, that's how the whole church was quiet. I said, you didn't hear me. I said, you are looking for money to start your business. In Jesus' name, nobody will give it to you. This amen will be by force. But I had my reason. I was trying to explain a principle. For that, look, since then till now, I still don't understand. I still don't agree with people that you should sell your best right. My friend that I said, who visited us, we're talking this morning, all right? And he said the average lifespan of a founding CEO, all right, in at least amongst the venture capitalists, in the, well, this is how it is. When you have an idea,
A venture capitalist will give you money. He said, typically they fire you on the average after 18 months on your own idea. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, you say, look, we can be making these t-shirts and putting this and that. And so it's not a very nice idea. So you need money. So you work to guys who have money. They give you money to start. Now, usually their money goes with control. And once the idea settles, they say on the average, they fire you 15, 18 months after the business takes off. How many of you know of Steve Jobs? You know, he was fired from Apple. He and his friend started Apple. One day, they looked at him and fired him. Drove him away from the company. He didn't own stock, nothing. That was his end of his life in Apple. It was when Apple crashed totally that Bill Gates used their nose to rub the mud. Somebody said, oh boy, let's call that man back. They now called him back, and then he took over Apple, released his iMac, released the, what do you call it, iPod, then released, you know, kept on releasing this, finally came up with the iPhone, and then the iPad. Now, the point I'm making is, all right, let's not even talk about it today. The point is that somebody fired him one day. Let's just use natural things to just, let's make it simplistic. Assuming he was not fired that time, of course, life is more complex than that. But just assume he was not fired than that, and it was just a simple graph we're plotting. That means Apple would have done far better than it's doing. Of course, that's not really like that. But I'm just going to bring an issue here. That you see, that's why Henry Ford refused to borrow money. He hated bankers. Henry Ford, the man disliked bankers. You know why? He said that business is not about money. So he didn't like to borrow money. He said money is a tool. That is like if you need to repair your car, you get a hammer to hammer something. He said if you want to start a business, you get money to hammer something. That the business is not supposed to be making money. Money is one of the tools for making the business. That business is about blessing people, it's about being productive. That the product of the business is the primary thing. So you shouldn't kill the business so as to make money. But the typical banker had the mentality, we'll give you money. Like just now, my wife gave somebody a ride in our car. And they say, hey, they said we should go and look for people to borrow. Madam, come and borrow money now. Come on, let's give you a loan. I don't need money. See this kind of wickedness in life. I don't need your loan. Why are you offering to me? You thief. You thief. You want to put me in bondage. You understand my point? So those are the things I put together that day. And I said, listen, if you are looking for somebody to come and put money in your business, I said, may God not let them give it to you. And like I say all the time, if you find it easy to be looking for those who will put money, you will find it hard to decode serious wisdom to use to solve your problems. Why did I talk about that? Because when I was preaching that and I was saying it, I meant it. Why did I mean it? Why did I say it? Because I have studied the word of God enough to know that he says, send us help from above. Vain is the help of man. Now, what does that tell you, therefore? I would not be starting a business. And you see me join my hand with my wife. In the name of Jesus Christ, hey Lord, tomorrow we are going out to go and look for investors in this business. Let them come. Let them come. Let them come. Let them come. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. That is for me. I won't pray that prayer. It's not in accordance with the will of God. I will pray for money if I need money. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for money. Please, you have to hear me carefully. But there's a prayer in which, you know, I gave this example before. A young man is praying, Father God, this is my brother. He must be saved. He must be saved. He's fasting and praying. The truth is that it's not his brother's soul that's the problem. The brother is rich. He's in school. The brother doesn't like him because he's SU. For that reason, things are rough. I don't know whether I get the point. You are in school. They say, bring money. And your brother says, don't mind him. That boy, all he's ever doing is going to church, so it doesn't flow. You are praying for his salvation. People think you love him. You really don't love him. You can pray for him if you really love him, but a lot of people are praying like that. They don't, you know. People are praying, let my father be saved so that he'll stop persecuting me when I go to church. That's a very bad prayer point. Should endure persecution. Separate it from your father's salvation. I don't know what you're going to say. If you look at him and say, this man needs Jesus Christ, then that's a different matter. That is what? A different matter. I'm bringing an issue here. So what is the will of God in prayer like that? There are prayer points people bring. I say, no, that is not a prayer point.
I gave you the example. A man came to me and said, pray for me. I said, what's the problem? He said that when I help people, they don't remember me. I'm like, what do you mean?